Welcome to The Point Home Services, the podcast where real contractors share real strategies. We cut through the noise and get straight to the point with the contractors that are working in the field right now. If you run a home services business and want to lead better, grow faster, and stay sharp, you're in the right place. Now, before we get started, I need you to do one thing. Only 30% of our listeners are following the show, so stop what you're doing, hit follow, and let's get to the point.
This is To The Point, a Rhino Experience, voted one of the top home services marketing and operations podcasts, cutting through the bullshit and getting to the point.
Hey, what's up, To The Point listeners? It's your boy, Chris Yano, the host of To The Point Home Services Podcast. I'm excited for this episode because you need to turn it up. You need to save this to your favorites. I don't actually know if you can do that or not, but if you could, you should save it to your favorites because this episode just kind of came up. And the guest that's sitting with me, like my, I guess I would say my competitor of mine too, is like, we are having the same conversations to the contractor world. And I thought, well, dude, you are also in Arizona. So why don't you just come by, check out the new Rhino office. Let's hop on a podcast and let's talk about this so we can put this shit to bed. So, Josh Crouch, welcome to the studio, my friend.
Hey, Chris, it's great to be here, man. I love the new shop. It's been. I see the videos. I've seen all the promotions, and it doesn't do it justice,
dude. Founder of Relentless Digital. We met the first time at a CEO Warrior event, and it must have been like maybe 17 or 18 or somewhere around there.
It was a while ago.
And you were working for services. Professional services, yep. In Wisconsin.
Yep.
Wisconsin.
Yep.
Got it. So you were in the contracting world. Now in my world for the last few years, I'm starting to grow like a nice little following and customer base and build a little business. Congratulations on that. It's not fucking easy. That's for sure.
No, it's not.
And if you've ever been the account manager in your own company, you know what that feels like. It's kind of like being opponent to Mike Tyson.
It can. You feel like a punching bag sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. So you, the interesting thing about, you know, the topic I want to hit on being, you know, demand leads and all this stuff on like, hey, let's jump ship because these guys aren't performing. Let's jump ship to another marketing company. Like, this has got to stop. And so, you know, we are large, like we are significantly different size companies, but we're hearing the same things. And so it's, you know, you care about the contractors like I care about the contractors. And part of that is getting them the most accurate information so they can make good business decisions because they have livelihoods. They've got employees who have their livelihoods that are involved in them making good decisions. So at least from the marketing perspective, we can share the facts so they can put that one to bed and then start making better decisions for their business. And by the way, since demand is down, and that's not just us saying it, I asked Josh, I said, hey, you know, there was a post that you made, I want to say it was like a week or so ago, maybe a couple of weeks ago, talking about this and even sharing some of the facts from Google Trends showing like, hey, listen, overall search volume is down, like it or not. And not only is it down in some markets, you know, from the past few years where it's been significantly up, it's down before the pandemic hit when things were more normal, let's call it. So there's plenty of markets that are below that. So it's real. And you, the contractor, have to deal with it. And the way you don't deal with it is like losers do. And losers say, you know what? They come up with excuses. It's not demand. It can't be me. It can't be internal. Like, it's not me. It's got to be marketing. Well, that's total bullshit. So put it to bed. So vulnerability is an absolute superpower when used correctly, right? And you have to be vulnerable to say, you know what? I might not have it figured out. Because guess what? A lot of the biggest contractors and companies in the entire United States of America have all put themselves in that position to grow and to become students again, even as big as they are for certain things. So there's no shame in that game of saying, damn, I need to dial in my answering or my CSRs, or damn, I need to dial in my memberships and how I'm handling my memberships or whatever. So I want to put this whole thing to bed and just say, listeners, we are here. We have come together to help you understand the lay of the land in regards to marketing and what's realistically out there now. So I asked Josh to come in because of that post. It made sense. There was a lot of, you know, conversation back and forth. We've had lots of those conversations back and forth. So let's jump into it. But first, before we get into just jumping right into it, maybe let the listeners know a little bit about you who've never heard of Josh or never heard of Relentless. Because contrary to popular belief, not everybody's on social media.
I know. Well, and it's funny because that's how I built my business. And I'm realizing that now I get to a certain size, like social media world's only so big. So we're doing other things similar to like what you guys do with shows, events, things like that. But, so I've been in the contracting space. Ironically, I got hired as an accountant in 2013, small little HVAC company. I thought,
is that the world you were going into? Was a CPA?
I always like numbers, statistics, and data, which is ironic that we're talking about this today. And I thought that was where I wanted to go. And I wasn't that great of an accountant at that point, but this HVAC company needed help and they needed someone that was a little lower on the payroll, not a high level accountant. Within about 3 weeks, I was literally like running the office. Cause that's my background, is running small businesses. Uh-huh. I grew up in a small family business. Learned a ton through there and have been in the trades ever since. So since 2013, and then in 2020, I was at professional services. I was a little different role for me. I've always kind of been in the operations role, but I was more focused on marketing and just the operations internally, Service Titan, all of those types of things, making sure our systems were really dialed in. Yep. And I remember when the pandemic hit and they canceled baseball and they canceled basketball and all this stuff. And it was crazy because our kid just had a basketball tournament. Like, holy shit, he's not even going to be able to finish this tournament. There was this 2 week period in 2020 until like the first week of April or the second week of April where the phones were dead. Nothing was going on and nobody had any clue what was going to happen. Ironically enough, about a month before that, I got my first client and ironically they were from Canada. They weren't even from the US. It just happened to be, I was in a coaching.
That's because they were close to Wisconsin and they could.
Yeah. Apparently he liked the dialect because we talked similarly. But, so I kind of got an interesting perspective on where this thing has gone. Cause then literally after that 2 week period pandemic, everything exploded. We didn't even have to try. Yeah. People were literally throwing money at us. Like if we're going to be locked in our house, we're going to upgrade everything. We're going to be comfortable. We're going to take care of all the things that we were going to take care of before, which obviously coincided with all the real estate price increases and everything else. So it's been an interesting ride. And I remember what it was like to run a contracting business prior to that. And it was a grind. I remember especially one particular winter, I don't know if it was like 2016 or so, it's getting closer to Christmas when people's wallets tighten up. We were outbounding like crazy, calling everybody we could on our list to try to get tune-ups. Pandemic almost got rid of that completely. People literally were just finding they needed work done, no matter what it was. And now I feel like we're finally back in that point in time where the really smart operators are going to shine. The people that grew just because, like everyone you see all the posts, everyone's having record months every single month, even if it's not the middle of summer. It's like, something's not right here. Well, we finally crashed back down to earth. And that's where we sit today. And that's what we're going to be talking about.
Yeah. Perfect. So I like that you have that perspective on both sides of it, have been the contracting level as well as the marketing level and experienced all the things. And so this is where the data analysis part really does come into play because it takes theory out of the way and puts facts into play. And that is how Rhino has built our businesses using the data. Like, we have our Rhino Checks reporting dashboard that, and all the call listeners listening to all the things, we're always trying to find the facts to move the business forward. Are we is it us? Is it you, the contractor? Who is it? For the greater good of, are we doing a good job? Because our main mission for Rhino is we exist to grow your business, period. Well, we have to know the facts to be able to do that. And that means also getting really good information. So that's what we're trying to do right now in this podcast, is give you really good, factual, tangible data so you can start making better decisions and prepare for fall and winter that's coming up. So some of you that are listening to this that might be up north or Midwest or whatever, like you're at the beginning phases of fall. So what did you do to prepare for fall? Because let's just say here in Phoenix, Arizona, we had for the month of July, as you got to experience for your first July, 29 of the 31 days are all 110 plus degrees. So though the first half of the year was very slow, very, very slow, a lot of people were able to make some of that stuff up here in July in Arizona. Same in like Southern California, South Texas, things like that. But here in Arizona was very, very warm. But still, that felt good in the moment. But now you're going back to where you just were. What are you doing differently? Because demand leads are down. So in the words of Uncle Joe Crisaro, so what should we do? So that's where I want to head, is what should you do? What should you be focusing on? That is, though you and I run digital marketing companies to do lead generation, as a good partner, this is part of our job, is to share with them other things that they should be looking into. So to set, you know, to set the record straight on demand, I thought, you know what, let's just jump in and share some of these things, because it's not just something that we're saying. If you have another marketing company, it's not just something that they're saying. You think you need to jump ship, and maybe in some cases you do. You might think the grass is greener on the other side, but maybe that grass is synthetic lawn. You know, it's not real, you know? But as long as you know, like, they're not lying to you, if you feel like you're maxing the opportunity, but they're not lying to you, then maybe you realize, okay, I need to not worry about jumping ship, you know, going to a different marketing company or bringing in a house or whatever. Maybe you need to bring it in house. I don't know, but do it with facts. So looking at 2019 overall demand, before the pandemic hits, we'll call that the, I use air quotes, normal. That was the normal time, right? That was the normal stuff. As soon as we talked about in 2020, once like the weird shit was passed in March, same thing. We experienced from a digital marketing company, a massive boom in things. And even us as a company, Rhino, took off because our existing customers were getting bigger. We added more people because they were like, well, now I need to do more things. Demand was ridiculously high and it just kept going up. It was like the best case scenario. Now is the worst case scenario. Now's the worst case scenario, because if you're listening right now and you're like, I'm feeling that pinch, my numbers are down, everything's down, I promise you, so's the majority of everybody else. The majority of everybody else to an extent. But also what came into play here is private equity. Got real busy over the last few years. And I've been involved with it for so long at this point in time, because I've had many, many customers that have been acquired by private equity, even before the pandemic. But during the pandemic is when it got real crazy, right? And some of you listening now are part of that. And congratulations to you for choosing a wise time to do it and maxing out your multiples. But here's what we're dealing with now. Here's the back end of that. So you look at 2023, and there is more new equipment in homes than ever before, right now. And that means there's more newer equipment in homes than ever before right now. So, and we would hope that that equipment is more efficient and better built than it has ever been before. So, which would require less go backs. Not always true, but you know what I'm saying? It's gotta be down, right? Like overall repair work has gotta be down. So you're not going back on warranty work or whatever it is as much. It's just not there. So that's down. But the downside is there's more marketing companies throwing money at campaigns than ever before. So we got lower demand, but more companies competing for it. And then you layer on top of it all the private equity that's involved. I mean, like some of these private equity groups own like 50, 60 different companies. And guess what they're willing to do? They're willing to outspend you.
Oh, yeah.
So then now you have all these companies that are not only throwing, we got more companies throwing money at marketing campaigns. Now we have more throwing bigger budgets at campaigns. And guess what? Google is supply and demand. Right. So if the demand is still high and the money is getting higher, Google will take their money. They are a for-profit business. So, you know, there's now even more money being thrown at these things, thus driving up cost per lead, cost per click. Like you got to be super dialed in with your paid ad campaigns to get the best cost for cost per conversions, getting the conversion rates. Like there's so many variables at play, but you can't factor out the fact that the pool is smaller and we're spending more money. It's like shooting the fish in the barrel, except the only problem is that now there's like 80 guns shooting in this one barrel with a smaller group of fish. Like who's going to get it? That was a really shitty analogy. But point being is the demand is significantly higher from the contractors on needing leads, but the actual demand business that's available is significantly smaller even than before we started the pandemic. So what do we do? What do we do? So what has been like, what have you been feeling too? Cause I'm sure you're getting the same stuff, but like, what are you feeling and what are you seeing? Like what's the Google trend sharing with you? Like what, just give me some of the data that you've seen.
Yeah. And right before I get into that, so how the post came about, and it was conversations with really smart operators, Billy Stevens, Matt Tyner. I know you guys are good friends. I asked them, cause guys like Matt Tyner and their company, they're $100 million. So if they're going to feel a trend, it's going to be them before someone that's $500,000 or $1 million.
Right.
And they're up about 15% this year. And I asked them, I said, so what are you guys doing? Like you guys looking at AI stuff? Like I was asking a bunch of questions, cause obviously there's a lot of topics out there that are hot right now. And he said, we're just doing the basic things really well. And I had that conversation with him. And then of course, Billy Stevens has a completely different perspective on running an operation. He's one of the best that there probably has been. He's kind of introduced PE to our industry, but the common theme between those two conversations was they're taking care of their own. They're not worried so much about, they're obviously worried about getting new customers, but they're taking care of, they're protecting their backyard. And it really struck a chord with me. And I've repeated it several times, even with our own business. Like, how can we make sure that we just do the basic things really well? Because there's so many fancy things out there. Everybody's heard of AI, ChatGPT, and all this other stuff. There's a lot of distractions.
Yep.
How do you do the basic things really well? How do you answer the phone? How do you have a system to make sure that missed calls, voicemails, abandoned calls get called back? How do you make sure your form submissions get a text back or something quickly, right? Because there are so many options, they're not going to wait even 10 minutes today. They're going to go to the next option if they don't hear from you. So how do we do those things and do them really well and focus on those and just continually get better at those? Because, and honestly, I remember your talk back at CUR, the call tracking list, that was literally like one of the first things I had to have set up. It's like, we got to know if are they bad leads? Are the contractors dropping the ball? Where is the disconnect so we can help each other? Mm-hmm. And it was a lot from listening to the conversation you've had in front of a lot of different audiences. But to get into the trends, I started digging into this a little bit, honestly, just because I nerd out on this stuff, and it was just, well, let's see what's going on. And I've had the conversation, so I'm like, well, let me see if what I'm feeling is actually based in fact. And we ran these trends, and obviously you guys can't see this because of the podcast, but we ran them for California, Washington, New York, Florida, Texas, and some various big markets, Arizona.
New York.
New York. And the trend is almost the same throughout every market, where 2020 went up, 2021 was the peak, 2022 started coming back down, and now we're 2023, we're at or even below the demand for AC repair, air conditioning repair, HVAC services from 2019. So we're at a 5-year low in searches. And honestly, I feel like a lot of it's been because of this wave that we've all been riding. We're riding this wave and people are throwing, oh yeah, I'll replace that. Yeah. Financing was super cheap. Everything was super easy to buy. Yeah. Obviously that's changed here in 23. And this, to use the analogy of a perfect storm, literally we have had almost just about every damn thing that could go, that could make this year a challenge. New equipment, more expensive equipment, private equity. Now we got lots of money dumping into, like you said,
Mother Nature
has sucked until pretty much in the Texas market, for instance. I ran this and I was looking, normally they start getting a higher level demand in early May. That didn't come until almost the middle of June.
Yeah.
And so everything's been delayed. So everyone's like, well, the calls just aren't there. So I have to try to figure out what it is. You have to try to figure out what it is. And Google Trends is a great, just a high level tool to be like, hey, is this actually down? Am I seeing what I'm feeling? Is it truth or is it fact?
Right.
And that's how this came about. And that's really where the post came about, is like, okay, now that we know that this is the truth and we have something to back it up, what should we do? What can we do to use Joe Crisara's favorite famous line. But, and that's really where we're going to get into today, is because we're going to try to give you guys some tips and some helpful things to help you protect your backyard and start looking at these things from a different perspective. Instead of, I need more new leads, what can you do today or in, say, September, October, when the temperatures start cooling down, to stay busy and to keep your guys, keep your team, so that way you're not losing employees and you have to start all over next year.
Yeah. And so I want to just preface this by saying, by no means are we saying, hey, we are operators for contracting companies. We're giving you from our perspective on the things that we've learned, or at least things from a marketing perspective that you could use that maybe you're not completely using to its advantage. And maybe it's a free tool like a Google Business Profile or something like that you're not really filling out or using FAQs or whatever it is. So it's not like we're saying, hey, we're going to show you how to, cut your OPEX on, I'm not telling you those things. It's just the simple things that we see frequently being missed that could easily be changed or looked at better or measured better to help you, besides lead generation. That doesn't mean you need to stop doing lead gen. It's just that maybe you need to shift the focus a little bit, knowing lead gen is going to be low because demand is low. What else can I do? So I want to jump into some of those things, but thanks for sharing that information. And so even though you guys are listening and you can't see, what I had asked Josh to do coming into this was, hey, pull this Google Trend data so that way we have it. So though you can't see it, if you're watching on YouTube, You'll see he's got a stack of papers in front of him. And those stack of papers are Google Trends. And he did share some of these in this post as well. So you can see some of this stuff too, but all things that we would be willing to share. But you can Google it. It's weird.
Free.
You
there's
can Google
no cost.
It. It's free. Just go to Google and type in Google Trends. And it might require a little bit of you figuring out how to use the drop downs. But I promise you, it's actually even super easy to use. So it's not difficult. Reach out to Josh, reach out to myself or somebody. Like one of us will be able to help get you figure it out. But just go, you can Google it to look yourself to see how many people are searching for the word air conditioning repair, AC repair, AC install, all these things. So no matter if you're in garage doors, roofing, plumbing, drain, doesn't matter. You can look at search volume for all of it and you can go back to or whatever year you need to go back to. So for this particular podcast, I just wanted to go pre-pandemic when it was normal, air quotes, to today. And how do we compare? Because if you've started a new business over the last few years, you've experienced a new business like most have not. So you already have this unrealistic expectation of what's out there because you came in when it was literally at its peak, which is why everybody was selling because it was at its peak. You know, private equity doesn't get involved in things when they're sucking. You know, they get involved in things when they see an uptick, you know, so
they probably wish they got involved now 100%. In 2019 because they would have made a ton of money
100% when multiples were like 6x's and things like that. So, but now is time to tighten up the ship as we say, you know, or just to tidy up your house, like get things in order or protect your backyard, like you're talking about. So the thought is, you know, when, I'm speaking to Pantheon this year, and I'm going to go and I'm going to talk. I was asked to talk about some of these specific things, which is why I thought this would be a great one to kind of tease that. The timing just all worked out on it. Your post, you know, intrigued the conversation. I'm championing your post for you because I'm like, congratulations, Josh. Thank you for sharing that. Please, everybody else, keep pushing it, that narrative because it's the truth. Now let's talk about some of the things that can be done. I look at it like, you know, even in my business at 15 years, we still have holes in our boat. We're still trying to plug holes and figure them out as a scaling and growing business. So you plug this hole and there's one, but then there's like, you know, another one over here. I got to plug this one. And is this hole bigger than that hole? Like, you know, do I need to use my hand? Can I use my finger?
I just use this analogy with my wife when we were talking. I use the bucket analogy. I'm like, there's holes, you know, just got to continue to plug. You got to find them and plug them.
100%.
It's the only way you're going to grow and only way you're always going to have holes. They just might be hopefully a little smaller.
Wait a second. Okay. You're 100% right. So the analogy works because that is really what we're trying to do is how do we stop the leaking from happening, you know, and you absolutely 100% have control over that. If you are a manager in a business, leader in the contracting business, you own the contracting business, you have any sort of influence whatsoever on the business, you have control over these things and you can't blame anybody else. So like one of the simple things too, in the podcast I posted a couple weeks ago, was around an answering service because, you know, I've preached this one forever that this is one thing over the last decade. It's been longer than that, but really over the last decade where I've really tried to solve this answering service shit show that we've have to deal with as contractors on just finding the least suckiest one. And whoever does finally get it figured out is a goldmine. Like when you get it figured out, as long as you're not using people overseas, you know, or people who, when they answer the phone are not a good representation of your business, which by the way, unfortunately is the majority of answering services, is I finally at least found one that I've known about for years. I used them for years and they sucked. And then the new guy, David, came in and took it over, redid all their tech stack, redid all their Q&A process, you know, brought their, the answering agents who speak English without the accents, you know, that, and that matters. Like I'm not being, disrespectful, rude, or it matters. I know I've listened to hundreds of thousands of hours of calls every single month for a long time to know what matters. Cause at the end of the day, I need the contractor to book the call too. Cause if they don't book the call, they don't get the lead. They don't sell the product. They don't make the money. They don't continue to market, or they might not increase marketing. I want them to grow too. So I'm trying to pay attention to these things on their behalf, but it would sure be nice if one would just step up. So from my experience, you know, and in some of our customers using that company, that was one way where I'm like, thank goodness. There's like, you just got to be good. You ain't got to be great. Just be good. And we found that in Nexa, which is why I brought the guy on. That was a big deal for me to bring somebody on and like give it my seal of approval. And people are saying, well, Chris must have ownership in Nexa or he must get a kickback from Nexa. And the answer is, no, I do not. I don't have any of those things. I wish I did. But I believe in what they're building because of the way it's impacted my customers. I mean, Gettle's using them, Penguin's using them. Like, clearly they've got some good things going on. So to me, I don't offer it. You don't offer it. But it's
ace. I will never offer it.
It's
no way.
It's hard to attach it, but it impacts me what we do for these guys, you know? So that's an option is, who are you using for your answering service? I'm not saying you have to use Next. I'm just giving that as an example. It doesn't matter who you're using, but whoever it is, maybe start listening to some of those calls. And if you don't, if you're not getting call recordings, then there's step one, either get a call tracking number to give them to use, but they should have call recordings that they're using for quality assurance. And then you can hear how they're actually performing and hold them accountable to it. Because I promise you, you are losing a shitload of money by having these subpar answering services. So that's one thing that you can do. I'll go down my list, but I'm going to mention one more thing, and then I want to kind of pass the buck to you a little bit. The other thing is, and this is, again, no secret, but CSRs. And if you don't have CSRs, and it's maybe you because you're a newer business and you're answering your own phone, or you have an office manager who's answering your phone, or a new dispatcher, or whatever, anybody who's doing call handling, you better start focusing on that person because every single call counts. And as you're going into fall and winter, every single call counts. The thing that always drives me the most crazy whenever we do reporting, especially at a private equity level, because I see all brands in one report and I love to look at missed calls per brand, is when I see missed calls, I always wonder what the hell the call was going to be. What was it? Was it going to be a lead? The odds are that all of them were going to be a lead. Probably not. None of them were going to be a lead. Probably not. Somewhere in there, there was going to be some good leads, but what were they going to be? We don't know. So I'm trying to get that out of the way because every single call counts. So put a little focus on your CSRs, you know, and developing them and holding them accountable, having them listen to their own phone calls and just maximizing every opportunity that comes in. And by the way, even if somebody's like, hey, ABC, are you ABC contractor? Maybe you're not ABC, but figure out how to potentially convert that lead maybe over to you. Not ABC, but we can do this. We can get there right now. Here's our offering to you, you know, and so if it doesn't work out, we're happy to get to you, you know, XYZ time. Just little things, man, focusing on that. So between answering services, you mentioned outbounding. Still, a lot of people don't outbound. Outbounding is a big deal.
You know, it's funny. So I finally got to the point now in our company where I'm not doing sales. But every time I'd have these conversations with contractors, I would be, you know, we have these conversations about what they're doing for marketing and all this kind of stuff.
You're not doing sales already?
Yes.
You know, it took me like 13 years to get there.
I'm very happy I'm not. It allows me to focus on some other stuff. But one of the questions I always ask is, how often do you talk to your existing customers? And that sound you hear, that crickets, the no noise, that's literally what I hear. We probably could do a better job of that. And what happens is you get the lead the first time, you never talk to the customer again. You don't email them, you don't call them, you don't text them, you don't do anything. You just, well, I'm on to the next golden goose, right? I'm on to trying to find the next $15,000 install and hopefully they call me back. So I put a sticker on the furnace, so they'll call me, right? That doesn't happen.
So they lose focus of the LTV, the lifetime value of the actual customer. Yeah, makes perfect sense.
Well, so there's that component. So I think as an industry, and again, this comes more from my ops background on the contractor side versus the digital marketing side, but from an ops background, that was always my focus. And a lot of it I had to do myself through tech, like just texting people. But now there's tools. ServiceTitan's got a vast array of tools. There's other programs out there that have a vast array of tools that you can literally upload a list and you can start texting. Obviously there's some rules and regulations with that, but if nothing else, email your customers. Like, just talk to them once in a while and give them some value, because regardless of what you think, a lot of people are like, well, I'm an HVAC contractor and nobody wants to hear from me. It's not true. You have things that are valuable for them, especially like in Phoenix, blog posts and videos about what to do during these heat waves to keep your family safe. I bet you you post on social media and you do a blog, that's going to get a ton of traction.
Monsoons.
In your local monsoons,
boobs.
Yeah, that's my favorite new word here, by the way. So there's a lot of stuff that way. And this is something that actually, when I had the conversation with Billy Stevens, he made a post that also had, was really relevant, because I think a lot of times we're taught by coaching organizations to pre-qualify customers on the phone. And I agree with that when you are busy. I think with the fact that demand is down and your board may not be full, I think that needs to be used as a lever. So let's say your normal fee is $99 to come out. Well, if the board's not full, maybe your CSR needs to put them on a brief hold and see, like, that, if that's the barrier because you didn't get enough value over the phone, which we know most of the time, that's where the Homeowners have no, they're like, well, don't you get free estimates? Like, can't you just come out and look at it? Or my water's dripping for a plumber. Like, you don't have to diagnose it. The water's dripping. It's right here. I know where it is. So they almost feel like, what, you're just trying to rip me off before you give them the door with this fee. Use the fee as a guy, like, yes, try to get a fee to come out to at least cover some costs, but book the call. Book the call. If it means you have to go out there for free, you're never going to make a profit on a service fee or a tune-up fee or anything else. You're not going to get anywhere without getting in the home and talking to the customer. So however you need to look at that. And we've had some people that have posted after Billy went through with that. And I love the philosophy because it's a lever. When you're busy, fees up, right? Because we do need to pre-qualify customers. If this fall, when we're down, it absolutely needs to be something you consider. Like, maybe we need to go out for $19 as a inspection or whatever the case is, because I know the big companies are going to do it because they know once they get in the home, their sales process that has been taught over and over and over again works at least a certain percentage of the time. They're going to close 70% of calls. This is their average ticket. This is how many homes they got to get into. And it's a numbers game, but the smaller contractors don't know that. So they're looking at like, why is, if they're not going to pay $99, that's not my customer. Says who? Right. And that's yeah. that. So again, book the call, find a way to be flexible with that, because as prices go up for everything, and obviously moving from Wisconsin to Arizona, I felt that pretty hard. This isn't like moving from California to Arizona. Like, everything's probably twice as expensive as it was, but as wallets get tighter, interest rates go up, people have less money, less disposable income that they're just going to willingly throw away like they were in the past. You need to be willing to work with them and find a solution, get in the home. And then once you're in the home, provide your value, your level of service. And you're going to get the tickets that you get with your sales process, but you got to get in the home first.
Yeah. Yeah. And part of our job to support that is we also got to change up our call to actions to get people to even want to call them in the first place. Right? Like, so I'm a big believer in financing options too. I mean, I'm always a big believer in look around, see what some of your competitors are offering. And if it's like a market like Phoenix, that's massive, you can break Phoenix down to like quad. You can break it down to Scottsdale if you wanted to, or the West Valley. Or if you're in LA, you can break it down in about 50 different ways. Or New York, you know, get the boroughs. Like, you can break these things down up to kind of see what your competitors are offering. And then adjust what your call to action is. I'm not telling you to race to the bottom on cost. Josh isn't telling you to race to the bottom on cost. It's get in the house and then maximize the opportunity. Because what you also don't want to do is go to the house, waste the time, the money, the gas, like all the things, and not be prepared to max out that opportunity. So going, then some of this will come into play where it's like, I staffed up in summer and now you got to carry them into fall. Because I don't have as much demand. Well, better get creative, because that is coming. Like, that's coming too. And sometimes keeping them busy is still valuable versus losing that person until it picks back up. So there's different things at play, but maxing out your memberships is a big piece of this thing.
Well, a lot of people over, and honestly, I was guilty of this too. Before I was at professional services, I started a new branch for a company, and I had this wild, like, three option membership plan. And it was like, you know, you got your VIP and your gold and your silver and all this stuff. And it was hard to sell because it was confusing. And if we simplify memberships, again, just like tune-up fees, just like service fees, are never going to be a profit center, but it's going to allow you an opportunity in October, November, December, get back in the house, have your techs take their time. They can spend two and a half hours on a call and you're not rushed. Go through everything. See what rooms are not comfortable. See, maybe there's been a slow, maybe one of the tubs has been a slow leak and you got a drain cleaning call. Like, there's things that you can do, but you got to get back in the home and you got to own that customer. And if you don't have, if your customer's not tied into some sort of membership, literally, and I know this goes back to last year, and we had a nice little fun social media banter about memberships and all that type of stuff, but memberships are still very much alive. I think Frontier Airlines actually, or is it Frontier or Allegiant, or someone has like a $299 all you can fly a certain time of the year.
It was Allegiant, I think.
It was one of the lower level airlines with the seats that are feel like it's a, you're literally on like a cardboard box or something. But memberships are very, every PE company wants recurring revenue. That's what they're looking for. Businesses with recurring revenue and recurring customers, because they know the lifetime value of that house is so much greater than just the sum of one call. And make it easy to buy. Honestly, and it's anything under $200 is usually pretty easy to get approval from a spouse or significant. Hey, they're going to come back. They're going to take care of us. We're going to be first in line. it's this for the year. Okay. Not a big deal. Like you spend more on coffee for the month than you do on a membership to actually keep your family comfortable in a climate like this, where it's 115 degrees every day. So I think things like that are just super, super valuable. But this is the time when you have all these calls to stack those up. Maybe you can't spend 2 hours on a call now, you're just replacing a capacitor, but you can get them on a membership to come back and then do your full inspection when you have time.
Right.
So that's where I would challenge people to try to just implement that in your business. Even just start, get 50 of them, get 100 of them, just see what that looks like for your business, because it's going to change things for you.
So this is going to sound really silly and simple, but still is very, very underutilized. Even in my own business, same thing. How about asking for referrals? Like, it's not weird unless you make it weird. Like there's an art to asking for referrals. It doesn't sound like you're being desperate. It can be like a specific call to action or whatever, but don't be afraid to ask for referrals. If somebody's really happy with the job that you've done, they're in their best mindset of about you and your business in that moment. And even though the odds are probably that the majority don't have a referral to give you on the spot, some could, or it could be when Jill's goes to dinner with, you know, Billy and Sherry. And I just use really old names. My mom's name is Sherry. Sorry, Mom.
Did you just call your mom old?
I sure did. but they could be going and like, it comes up the next day or whatever. And then like, oh yeah, well I just use so-and-so like, and they were great. And then you give the like those things happen like that. It's just that people will be like, what the odds are probably, pretty low. Yeah, but there's still odds. And like, you can still get something. And guess what? Like when demand is low, you got to do all the things. And that's an easy one. You're already there. They're already happy. Can I get a referral? You know, if you know somebody else, you're not saying, can I get a referral from you, Mrs. Jones? It's, hey, if you know anybody else, you might need some help. You know, we'll take care of, just like we take care of you. If you wouldn't mind just passing my information. Thank you. Like just something simple on that, but ask for a referral.
Well, and this, so, and I've, professional services, I mean, we did other things too, but one of the ways we built up our local presence outside of Google was through content on Facebook groups. This is so underutilized. People think that when somebody posts like, and I've seen a lot of those just in our little neighborhood group, I need someone for air conditioning, who are you guys using? And usually the business owner and friends and family will just drop the name, but they haven't built up any value in that group. And I've done the same thing for this business. Obviously there's different ways to grow a business. You guys have awesome branding. Like, If you ask a majority of contractors to name three digital marketing companies, you guys are probably in that list more often than not. And because you guys are everywhere, yeah. Right? So there's different ways to grow a business that way. But if you're looking for ways that aren't, if you don't have the budget for some things, put out content. You guys know so much about heating, air conditioning, plumbing, electrical, et cetera. Put out some valuable information in those Facebook groups, because then you are looked at as the teacher in front of the classroom. And then what happens is people, and I just highlighted this the other day, it was in the house called Pro Group. Someone was asked for a marketing company. We got it recommended by like five people that have never used our business because of the content we put out and because of the education we put out. And that stuff is people find value in that. So even if they don't use you, they have a certain vibe or feeling about your company. And that stuff pays dividends. We had the same thing at professional service. I would make videos in my basement at my house about like, hey, if your furnace goes down during this extreme cold snap, here are four things to check before calling us. Just pure value. Like, yes, call us if you have a problem, but check your furnace switch, check your filter, check, make sure the vents are open. Like all these just little stupid stuff that anyone, you could go on. If you don't even know what to talk about, go on YouTube and find a video and just do the same thing, but in your own words and stuff like that. Share it. Email, share it through Facebook, your personal page, share it on some Facebook groups that you get permission. Do it from your personal profile. Don't do it from your business profile, because usually that's like spammy, salesy people. I tell you, it's when you see the change happen in those Facebook groups and all of a sudden you're 60% of the recommendations and your overwhelming favorite in that group, it changes everything, because those are all brand impressions. So the next time that comes up, and anyone that puts following or a dot or anything on those posts, engage with them. Hey, are you having the same issue? Talk, because they're following because they want to get a recommendation. If you reach out to them and you try to find out what the problem is, you can book those calls. And I know this stuff sucks. You have to roll up your sleeves a little bit. It's extra work. It's a grind, but it pays off dividends in the long run.
And that sucks even more to not have the business.
It sucks even more when you are looking for work or it's hot like this and you don't get free leads through Facebook.
Right.
You know, so it's this is when I say get back to the basics. These are the basics. These are the things that you probably should have been doing already. Maybe you don't know how to do or you need some help with. But once you start doing it and you start getting it, it will pay dividends. Get out in front of your community. Sponsor a charity. Do some charitable fund. I know you guys are huge on that here, which honestly, like, even from a like jealousy from a competitive standpoint, like that's what we want to be as we get to be a larger company. We want to be able to impact the communities around us, but people remember that. And they have a certain impression of your brand when they see it. And if it's favorable or positive, they're most likely, even if they don't hire you or they don't need you, they'll tell someone else about you. And that's really where the power of branding comes in.
Yeah. And by the way, you going and donating your time, is donating your time. It's sweat equity. So, and it's not like Josh saying, you go and do community service, like it's going to give you business right away. That's not the point. The intent for it also matters, right? Like, we don't just go and serve, to say, look what all the good shit that we do, but we use this platform to continuously give back like 15 years later, because it is part of the DNA of the business. So we are doing good business because we do good shit for people. So we're not just like taking for granted the success of the business. We legit had Anna and I, my wife and I, plan was always, as this thing grows, we continue to give back. So if anybody listens to the podcast episode that I did in Houston, it was one of the live shows I gave, which was completely out of the blue for me because I just told the story of Rhino and where we came from. It was the most vulnerable I've ever been because I shared all the failures that we had along the way, like the embarrassing shit then. So it was nice to share all those, you know, negative experiences I went through, all the mistakes that I actually made, the way it impacted me personally, to what Rhino has become today. But still through all that, we gave back constantly give back. So I'm not saying everybody has to do that. It's important to me, but it is a good marketing play too. If you legit want to go and do and donate and give back and serve the community and you mean it, the byproduct is it's great marketing for you. The byproduct of it is too. And when Josh says, if somebody's looking through social and being like, who do I use? And they see a business who does a lot of community service, that lends well to your credibility and like your honesty, you know, and things
like
that.
So. Who doesn't want to do business with somebody that's going to get back and grow the local community?
Of course, man. And you should be involved in it. I will say this, like you talking about the Facebook group. So if you're listening right now, guaranteed in your community, there's a Facebook group community.
Well, here it's neighborhoods. Like it's tight. Like it's neighborhood tight.
For sure. So like where I live up in Anthem, Arizona, is where ProSkill is based out of. And Tyler and Travis Rinke, friends of mine, I've done a phenomenal job of owning that space. Somebody says, AC repair, ProSkill, you know? So they've owned it because they've done a great job of being super involved in their neighborhoods and communities. So like that, I mean, 30,000 homes up there, you know, and it's 30,000 people up there. It's a good little networking spot and they own it. Like, it's not even a question. You don't even see anybody else's name. Maybe you see one or two come up like every 20th time, but they own that market. You can do that as well, listener. But what he's saying is you don't need to go on and sell your services all the time. You're educating. So educate them. Different things come up. Different things happen. If there's a, you know, a lot of flooding, talk about sump pumps. If there's, you know, hail coming up, you know, or there's a tornado that happened, or like in Indianapolis, tornado happened and people are talking about, you know, well, here's some things that you can do. If your roof has holes in it, throw a tarp on it. You know, you need to, if the roofer can't get there in time, like just different shit, but you can get like granular and all you have to do is use your sweat equity to do it. It doesn't cost you anything to do it. So I want to pivot because we're like already 45 minutes into this thing. And I want to pivot to some marketing things that they can control. So on the back half of this thing, like their local service ads. So I don't remember if you and I had this conversation before or not, or if you knew this or not, but when Google first rolled out Google Home Services back in the day, we beta tested it for them.
I remember.
In its first like 9 months. And it was like, they kind of explained what they wanted it to be. And really they were trying to use us for data as well, which was great because we were using them back for the data. And what it was then is not what it is today. So it's totally different. But the trajectory of it was, because this is when you could still do paid ads on the top and the right-hand side. And then eventually the right-hand side paid ads went away, which were garbage anyway, if you were past like the first or second one. The plan was to get this demand thing that's now, you know, the local service ads in play and then continue to scale it because now it's in prime real estate. The cost per lead is still significantly lower than most cost per leads, but everybody's willing to put max budget on it. So like, okay, well, that's not working, Chris, but I've got max budget, you know, like, well, it's not all it plays into it. Like everybody's willing to spend max because it's like, everybody's like, hey, if this works, Josh, I'll spend as much as I can with you to get the same amount of leads, the same shit that we hear forever. I get that. Me too. I'm no different. But there's strategy that goes into these things too. So if you're trying to manage your own local service ads yourself and you don't know if you're doing a good job, you think you're doing a good job, you think you could do better, have one of us do an LSA audit or something to at least give you some feedback on how to do it better, or have somebody do it for you to max out what you can there, because it is a low risk. It is a low risk lead generation option for you. But local service ads are an option. And most of us digital market companies are doing them now. The other thing I would say is your Google business profile, like filling that thing out completely, making sure that if you're in fall or you're in winter, you know, shift maybe your top category from AC now to heating, you know, and like those little things. If you're in plumbing, you know, making sure you have plumbing. If you're in residential, air conditioning and you don't do any commercial, try to bypass the word HVAC. Typically generates a commercial keyword. So just like little things that you can help with. And by the way, I'm saying these things and you're like, well, how the hell would I know to do that, Chris? That's why I'm telling you. Like, you can reach out to any of us and we will help give it to you, whether you become a customer or not, is not the point. That's why I'm telling you on here. Reach out and ask those things, because that's a free tool that you have that you can play with and use. So there's just a couple of things. I know you have some, so I don't want to take them all, but what else can these guys and gals do to, you know, from the marketing perspective that they can start to do to help the business?
Yeah. So, the GMB thing, GBP,
Say Google Maps, Maps.
Yeah. It's timely. Cause one of the things, and that's, as you know, that's how I started my business. I didn't do any of this. I didn't do any of this other stuff. That's where I had my focus. It's a free resource, but we just put out like an optimization checklist, because again, you don't know what you don't know. Right. And it's all about giving free, valuable information. Obviously the hope is at some point you decide to call us and give us a shot, but we're not the fit for everybody. So you guys can, we have a free resource, which I can certainly give you the link to that too. But from some of the stuff we're talking about, I would start with email. Like text message marketing is a completely different beast because it's more conversational. So you really have to give some thought to how you're going to approach that. Plus there's brand new regulations that are literally rolling out right now. Yeah. Email marketing regulations are pretty standard now. Just once in a while, email your customers, send them something, send them a story of a customer that didn't, they went with the cheap option and it ended up costing them a lot of money. And this is why. Tell them why, tell them a story about something that's happened. Update them on your company. Like just, these are little things, like just stay in touch with them so they remember to call you the next time. Cause you know, as well as anyone with branding, PPC and things like that, they need 7, 10, 15 impressions before they're actually probably going to call you. So that one time you stopped at their house is not enough. You have to continue to stay in front of them. And every single CRM now gets an email address. So you may not get a cell phone. There's still some people that have landlines, and they give you a landline number you can't text, but you get an email every single time because you got to send an e-receipt. So at least start emailing those customers and talking to them that way. I think that's a no-brainer, because if you start doing that, that leads into other content opportunities. You can use the same content in email as you can in a video, in a blog, in a whatever you want, really. I mean, any social media platform that you have, name the one that you're, you know, most familiar with. I would say Facebook and Instagram for like most homeowners, TikTok if you have a younger mm-hmm. crowd. But that's something I've been doing since like 2018. It's always just get back in front of those people. If it's time for tune-ups, get in front of them with a tune-up offer. But if you lead with value, say 8 out of 10 emails, those 2 emails where you send an offer, they'll actually reply to. If you don't, and you just, here's an offer, here's another offer, AC sale, AC with the, or free furnace with an AC, which is a fan, which I'm sure we'll see that in like 2 months. You know, these things, those won't have much of an impact because they're literally going to put you on the same list that they put Walmart and all these other stores that just send them offer. You know, you have to lead with value so they actually stay in the inbox. So that would be probably the number one thing I would say is just talk to your existing customer, do it via email. It's super easy. Everybody knows how to email these days.
Yeah, I'm gonna try. That's actually really great because I still think a lot of people don't use email marketing the right way. Like, we're not talking like create a newsletter and fire off a newsletter.
You don't have to be fancy. No. Don't think you have to be like this. Like some of the newsletters you see in your inbox where it's all this crazy stuff. And if you have any familiarity with ChatGPT, have ChatGPT give them the email and say, hey, write me a very like an engaging subject line. It'll do it for you, and it actually does a really good job. So you can use these tools to help you get a better, totally guilty myself, but things like that, just little things.
Yeah. So I want to try and wrap, and I'm just going to finish with a few things. I'm not going to go deep into it. And one also is, you know, we talk about using Facebook, you know, groups and things like that and social, but again, keep in mind, social media is still free. It has a decent reach, but social is meant to be social. I've said this forever. And you can slip in offers here and there after you've given enough value, given enough, or you've done enough education. But don't be afraid to use humor. I love seeing memes. You know, I love like what I love most about like short form video right now is just all the funny shit that you get to see. That's like, I really don't care about tort, you know, legal law or orthopedic surgeons but sometimes you see some really funny shit and I'm like, cool, doesn't apply to me whatsoever, but it was funny and I watched it all the way through. So get creative on social. Like, no one wants to call you in the first place or reach out to you in the first place, right? So contrary to popular belief or not, people aren't wanting to reach out to home services companies to pay them to fix shit. Like even me, like I just had to, I was telling you in Rhino, bring my own customer, AC by J, shout out to you for hooking me up, to take care of three of our 9 air conditioning units on this building. And I'm like, son of a bitch, I got to cover this cost. Like, this sucks.
Well, you don't budget for it. Nobody budgets for it.
But the point is like, it sure was sexy when I needed air conditioning, you know, in these different, for my employees too. Point being is like, nobody wants to reach out to you. So what are you trying to do to get their attention? One thing I learned from, the one thing I've carried into to this day from my partnership with Gary Vee was the two pillars that I need to build to get any action from. And specifically in the social space was this, you either need to entertain someone or you need to educate them. And if you can do both of them together successfully, it's the best case scenario. So, which is why I love humor, putting humor into things, making it funny or making it like a heartstrings type of thing. But you need to put something out that's going to make somebody feel something fast in order to get them to do anything more. So guess what? You can use ChatGPT to come up with ideas. Like, there's a lot of things you can use.
You can have them talk in the voice of The Rock. I've seen, I think it was Thaddeus Nevin did something like that. It was just, and it's hilarious because I grew up with that. And it's like, yeah, that's funny. Like, it actually sounds like him. But yeah, you can absolutely use that.
Yeah, don't be afraid to step outside the box and try new shit, man. Like, you know, this is a great way to set your brand apart. Anyway, I was doing those. I've preached this for, you know, as part of my like 6 P's of marketing is the last P's personality, because so many don't do it. And this is when I give my ship my pants commercial, like as an example. I've used it forever. You probably saw it at CEO Warrior back in the day. I can't remember if I ever used that one or a different one, but I've used it a ton because it was a great example of a discount company, Kmart, stepping way outside the norm and running a very successful campaign, you know, of ship my pants, you know, on the play of them trying now offering shipping, which seems like ages ago, right? Like, that seems really weird. But so for some of you younger listeners, you know, shipping wasn't a thing for some people way back in the day. But point being is use social to get creative. It's like the best way to get creative because you can throw shit out, and if it gets engagement, you know it works. If you throw some shit out there and it doesn't get engagement, you're no worse for the wear and you realize that doesn't work. So use social. And then the last thing I'll say too is, and this is something we're big on here too, is when you're focusing internally, this doesn't mean you always need to be doing things externally. You need to be doing things internally. Like, start to have fun with your team. Come up with like things like, for instance, at Rhino, we have a good time committee. The good time committee is quarterly, right? Is it quarterly, Ryan, still? So quarterly, where it's the same group of people who nominate themselves to be a part of it, and they come up with all the fun things that we're going to do every single month, whether it be a potluck, a game, or whatever. But it kind of gets the internal workings of the business, like, to have fun and enjoy, because our work is hard. Like, your work is hard, listeners. Our work is hard as digital marketing companies. If you can imagine all your problems compiled up across hundreds, that's our problems. So you got to make it fun. And so little things like that get employees who willingly get engaged in coming up with fun things for you to do. It doesn't mean you have to like do lunches and stuff all the time. That can get expensive, especially if you're a big company, but you can do fun things. So doing stuff like that, contests are fun. You know, anytime you can have different contests about different things, if it's a referral contest, if it's a, you know, a contest for best booking, you know, rate, whatever it is, come up with some fun stuff.
And can I add some of that real quick? I know where he keeps flagging us for time here. So one thing that we did very successfully, we did yard sign contests. So one, our techs would always leave a yard sign, again, small things, right? But when we did these contests, we'd actually have customers reach out and they'd want us to put a sign in front of the, can I get a sign? Even though we haven't serviced them in like 6 months, 12 months, they want the sign in front of their yard again. And again, it's just brand exposure. But run a yard sign contest, give the tech some money. Whoever wins, just you can do one of those like free drawing things on Facebook that looks super cheesy. Yep. And then give the homeowners, just give them some money just to put their sign in their yard. Because that's free marketing for you. Use that out of your marketing budget and just get, again, how many people can drive by and see that sign? How many people walk by? If there's walking paths in your area, get the signs out because that stuff, people, it leaves a lasting impression. Yeah,
I totally just did that. Like we just moved into a new home and I'm building out my bar. So,
Is that where we're going?
That's where we're going after this. Yeah.
Okay.
And so I was driving by and like a guy was doing a room addition and I saw the sign and I was like, yeah, screw it. I'll just get a bid from this guy too. Cause I was already got like three bids cause it already is expensive. So I did the same thing. I saw the sign. I'd never heard of the company before too, but it looked like they were doing a pretty good job and the site was clean, which was cool. Cause I'm like, cool, at least they're being clean. And so I reached out to them.
We hired the company that painted the outside of our house. We walked around the neighborhood and we saw this house. It's just like, wow, like this was amazing. So we ended up calling them because of the sign. It was literally right in front of their yard. And the beautiful thing about Arizona, you never really have to take that sign out. In Wisconsin, we had snow and you had to take the signs out all the time. Yeah.
Well, and I'll leave you with a couple of the two easy little last things to listeners. And thanks for hanging on this long for an hour. And hopefully this has been as valuable as we hoped it would be in making sure like, yes, demand's down, but there are other options that you can do to help, sustain business, grow the business, maintain business, protect your backyard, all those things. We've tried to share as much as we can and what we've experienced through other contractors who've done it and done it successfully. So these things work. Another thing to start to take a look into, a few different things, is this new whole smart AC like sensor thing that they've got out has like really intrigued me. And the more I've learned about it, and I've had lots of conversations with Chad Peterman about it, who's a very close friend of mine, great company over in Indianapolis, and his thought on how to use it. It might be hard to understand. You're like, what the hell is smart AC? Google it, look it up, check it out. I'm by no means an expert in it or anything like that.
I'm pretty sure Ken does something similar they're giving like the house they're at and they're like offering free ones to like the next the neighbors. Yeah, instead of door hangers, they're doing, when I was talking to Josh, I was talking to Josh at AHR and they're literally like giving them to next door neighbors. Just free install.
DIY. They put it in their system. What it does is it sends feedback to you, the contractor, and tells you when there's something going on with the system before it actually they can even reach out and call somebody. So it is kind of a neat.
It's almost like cutting Google off at the knees a little bit. Like, hey, before you even go to Google, we have this thing that's literally going to tell you something's wrong. Oh, by the way, here's our information. Don't go to Google.
100% send you direct to the contractor. Like, it's pretty freaking cool. Like, I still need more. I need to learn and understand about it too. But it was like an interesting concept whenever Goodrich was telling me about it. And I didn't get the chance to talk to Josh too deep about it, but just something else to think. I'm like, think outside the box on things like this, on how you can capture the leads. And then the last thing I'll leave you with is, I don't know if you guys do this at Relentless, but you can almost have a thought board or $1 million thought board. It's like, give your employees the opportunity to, when they're thinking through, like they have challenges, they're thinking through like, well, here's a solution. Now they don't know the rest of the business. So maybe the solution that they give doesn't make sense, but you want to give them the freedom because every once in a while they'll come up with some good nuggets and we'll call it the $1 million board because sometimes that's $1 million idea that they came up with that either saves us money, makes us money, whatever it is, but it gives them the freedom and their brain power from their perspective to come up with solutions to different things or ideas to different things. And people like to feel like they're part of the solution, right? So I would just encourage you to come up with something like that that allows your employees to share their thoughts and ideas and don't just dismiss them. So another thing to put out there. But Josh, I appreciate you coming on here, man. I appreciate you. We no shit put this thing together like last second. And I was just like, you know what? This seems like a good idea. Let's do it. And let's have the conversation and it's timely and it all makes sense. So I appreciate you making the hour drive over from the opposite side of the valley here to check out the new office and join me on the podcast, you know, and it's been cool for me just to, I mean, to watch your journey, like in my world, to watch your journey and to see you make the same mistakes I've made, to see you have the success that you've had. Like, I would say arguably, you had success faster than me, but my business didn't start when this exists. You know, like my success in the beginning came from the manufacturers, because I was partnering with the manufacturers forever, which is, by the way, a great model to be in, and still is. But it's cool to just kind of watch your journey and knowing what you're going through, and then us being able to come and do this together. And we're in the same place now. Like, obviously you like me so much, you moved to Arizona.
That's right.
But you just moved on the other side of the valley, so it wasn't like super good. No, but I appreciate you making your time in here. I know we're going to spend a little bit of time chit-chatting afterwards, so I'm kind of curious to hear how all the things are going. But hopefully, listeners, you know, I brought him here because, you know, people have influence in the space, and Josh has influence. And he said some things that were absolutely true, that is a big enough deal that I thought, let's go ahead and share that with our entire listener base too, because I think it's important. Now, you and Tersh have Service Business Mastery. Love Tersh and Julie, both great people. Tersh helped me in the beginning too, putting this whole thing together. So just quick shout out to them, because I think they're phenomenal people. But appreciate you coming in here, man, sharing your knowledge. Listeners, you know, again, if you haven't checked out Service Business Mastery, Service Business Mastery, you can check that out too. They've got their social pages. They got their Facebook group. They're on social, him and Tersh, and Tersh is over on the East Coast. Fun area. Love where he's at. So Savannah.
It's a whole different world over there.
I love it over there. But anyhow, hopefully you take something away from this and you implement it, you know. But if you have questions, you obviously reach out to either one of us, and we'll be happy to at least guide you in the right direction. Doesn't mean you have to use us. We just want to help you. But be sure to share with all your contractor buddies that demand is down, like it or not. And you've got to start looking internally. But, you know, we gave a lot of options.
And this isn't an exhaustive list. Talk to other people. Maybe there's
tons of things to
there's
do.
So many great ideas out there. Just network with other people that are going through the same thing, and you're going to find some great ideas that actually will work for you.
1,000,000%. Now, you don't have to do everything, but you got to do something. No, 0 days. Listeners, thank you so much again for listening to this podcast week after week. We are extremely grateful. Again, the whole purpose of this podcast is to give back to the home services industry that we love so much, whether you're a rhino or not. We really, really appreciate all the subscribers. And if you haven't subscribed yet, please go in and subscribe, and you'll get all the episodes sent to you automatically weekly. Also, we have really enjoyed your feedback. It's so meaningful for us when we get to read the nice comments that you guys put. So keep doing that. And if you don't know how to do it, here's what you got to do. You search for To The Point Home Services on Apple Podcasts. You click on our profile, scroll all the way down to the bottom, and hit write a review. And be honest and share your story and how the podcast has impacted you and your business. Thanks again from the bottom of our hearts at To The Point Home Services Podcast. We appreciate you. Welcome to The Point Home Services, the podcast where real contractors share real strategies. We cut through the noise and get straight to the point with the contractors that are working in the field right now. If you run a home services business and want to lead better, grow faster, and stay sharp, you're in the right place. Now, before we get started, I need you to do one thing. Only 30% of our listeners are following the show. So stop what you're doing, hit follow, and let's get to the point.